All right. From 2003 to 2012, our guest today toured in a band with Robbie Krieger and Ray Manzarek of The Doors. Holy shit. He's got a lot of episodes. He's got a lot of intros. He's got a lot of friends. He's got a lot of YouTube videos. So go check that out. I absolutely recommend it. He also records drums for many a band, many an artist from his studio, and does drum lessons. So you got to check into that at www.tydennisdrums.com. And don't misunderstand me when I say Ty. I think it's what, T-Y? So www.ty. DennisDrums.com. Joining us today on General Population, our friend, Mr. Ty Dennis. How are you doing, man? God, that was like, reading it off of this, I was like, fuck, it's like blinding me right now.
I'm good, man.
How you doing? How you doing, man?
Doing good, doing well.
What brings you to General Population? I love that you were in a band with those two crazy kids, man. Tell everybody, how the hell did that work out?
Well, you know, I could say I saw an ad in the Music Connection and called and they answered the phone, but no, it didn't happen.
Yeah, damn it. No, there was no wanted ads in the sex version of the catalog.
Robbie had an ad in the Recycler. Yeah. So,
no, I'm serious. Like those LA Weeklies and the porn ad at the end right there. If you want to jam with my friends. Anyway, seriously, how the fuck did that come around?
I met Robbie first. I played in, before he was playing with Ray again, I played in Robbie's band, kind of like I do once in a while now, where he goes and does club gigs and little tours and stuff and plays Doors songs and songs from his career.
Go ahead.
So I'd gotten a gig with Robbie's band Robbie in 2001.
What's it called?
It's the Robbie Krieger band.
Yeah. Bobbin and Krieger. Why isn't it Bobbin and Krieger, man?
That's good. I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
So I got that gig through a bass player friend who we used to do lots of gigs together. And he had the gig first. My friend Angelo, who's a great, like my favorite bass player in the world. And through him, I was able to hook up with that. And then that ended up leading to me meeting Ray. And
so just a big happy family, man. How the hell? I have a Ray Manzarek story for you. Are you ready? Check it out, man. So I think it was 2001. I smoke a lot of weed and I think my eyes are getting blurry too. It's kind of bizarre. Totally irrelevant, but might have some relevance to it. So 2001, I've said this story on this show before, but I'm going to say it again because we've got you here. I was asleep in this room, not like right on the other side of the wall. We're in Beverly Hills today at the family's hacienda, which is a much cozier environment, but I'm sure you can tell. I need to redo that backdrop because I think my aunt kind of personalized. But anyway, so I'm asleep. I got a doctor's appointment at like 8 or 9 in the morning, something ridiculous. And my mom's pounding on the fucking window outside of right outside. Like I'm probably hungover too at that moment. So you don't want that bullshit. And I hear, Marco, we are under attack. We are under attack. And I'm going, the fuck are you talking about?
Wow.
I wake up. I go into the living room over here where we are, the bungalow. And I turn on the news and it's the day of 9/11. The planes had just crashed into the fucking towers. Right. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell is going on? And really, I thought it was Armageddon. I mean, they're like, really, really, what the fuck was going on? We can get into that, you know, because like that blew my mind. That literally, I don't know what the hell that was all about. I don't want to go into the conspiracy to where there were bombs going off. And why did Tower 7 fall and all this bullshit? But the point is, I end up at a doctor's office in Beverly Hills. And I'm sitting there in the waiting room, just kind of going, holy shit, man, really thinking about what's going on. And there's this guy, right? Old man, sure you know where this is going, but he's got his hands in his pockets and he's wearing these khaki ass shorts, right? Like fucking just chilling. He's got his shirt tucked in. He just looks like, I'm from Oahu originally. So I'm thinking like, he looks kind of like he's got the old white uncle guy tan vibe from Oahu. Like, who the fuck is this guy? Do I know him? And he's just sitting there staring at the fish tank just with a smile. And I'm going, what? And then it hits me. I'm like, that's Ray the Fuck Manzarek. I mean, I immediately just start going, holy shit. Like I was so overloaded with what's going on that day. I go up to him and he had his hands in his pockets, right? I take his hand out of his pocket physically. Like, I'm like, holy shit, dude, like what? And, you know, I could have probably gotten a charge for that. But he was really cool. He was just like, hey, man, like we just start talking. And it was on 9/11. So we get into this conversation about it. And at the time, me and my cousin had a band called Treason. So I'm like, hey, can you sign an autograph to Treason on the day of fucking all this shit? So it was kind of ironic. And yeah, we get into this conversation about his book. I don't want to talk too much shit about this scenario, but I'm friends with Sean Stone. His dad's Oliver Stone. So we got into the movie about Doors. Yeah, he did an interview too. Cool guy, to be continued. Anyway, so I don't know how factual the movie was, and he got into it. You know, he wasn't a fan of Oliver, I guess. I am, but fuck, you know.
Me too.
I'm everybody's fan. You know what I mean? But the point is, we got into a great conversation. He signed the autograph, and he signed Treason wrong. So I'm like, shit, I got up. Hey, man, do you mind doing that again? So on the backside, he re-signs it to T-R-E-A-Z-E-N, and which is funny as hell. And Ray Manzarek of The Doors, good luck. Never saw him again. Fucking blew my mind. And about a year later, my girlfriend at the time burnt the motherfucking autograph. Isn't
really?
Yeah. you don't even know, bro. You don't even. She also burnt the Damage Plan ticket that I went to go see Damage Plan on that tour that he got shot. She burnt that shit up too, man.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I mean, did he ever bring up like Jim Morrison shit or, you know?
Well, you know what? It's like, I would hang out, you know, I would get to travel with Ray and Robbie a lot of times. Like we'd be taking van rides from the airport or going from the hotel to gigs and vans and stuff. And so I would just sort of listen to them chat.
Yeah, you don't even. I mean, I never
asked that question. I don't think about Jim Morrison. Maybe if I did, maybe I don't remember it. So that's how rare that was. But I would hear them occasionally talk about it, and they wouldn't that much. But occasionally,
you wouldn't start like you wouldn't insinuate a fucking riot. You wouldn't be like, "Hold on, what did you just say?" Like nothing, none of that.
No,
I have a disease. I would hear them
chatting. As you know, about old times and stuff like that, as with all their history.
Well, okay, all right. Well,
they would say stuff like,
fuck did they say? Well, I mean, fly on the wall.
I can just remember them talking. It would be like little things, dude. It'd be like, oh, you know, you remember when we would go, they would say stuff like, you remember when we'd have a flight, they have an airplane to catch, and the flight could be, you know, Jim, you know. They could show up like 5 minutes before the police. The old days, you could show up and run to the gate, you know.
Yeah, smoking a cigarette and like getting ahead on the.
You know, no matter how you know, they were talking about, they would show up the last possible minute about to miss the plane, and no matter how late they are, Jim Morrison would never like run. He would just like,
yeah,
like
I can totally fucking see that.
I'm not hurrying, none of that, you know.
Hey, it's cool, man.
I remember him saying stuff like that. I remember, conversations they would say. I mean, we're Ray saying there's like, you know, Jim and then Jimbo.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Jimbo, I have friends that same shit. I'm either Marco or because people call me Keesimus, so Mark Keesimus, okay. Or Kesey. But if I turn into the drunken slob,
yeah,
you know, that's why I'm drinking foo-foo drinks now. I don't want to go too hard with the JD.
Jimbo would be like the other you know, the more interesting of personality.
Oh yeah, that's more the lizard, more the lizard king,
more of the other guy, you know, the guy that's probably influenced by some foreign substance or whatever, you know. Yeah,
the weird irony about this, you know, actually I'm glad we're even talking about it, because recently I've been doing a lot of soul searching other people's souls. Not mine, fuck mine. Other people's souls. So I was kind of like trying to break down, like, I don't know, smoke a bowl, and before you know it, you're like, I wonder what Jim Morrison was really like. So yeah, I googled all these cool ass like little interviews and shit like that, to where he's actually, there's one, I forget what it is, it's on YouTube, just google it, fucking whatever, but it's him actually having this conversation. Pam's there and this journalist dude's there, and they're talking about all kinds of shit, and in the middle of it he fucking calls Barney's Beanery. And he gets a pint of like whiskey or half pint of whiskey and potato chips delivered. And you can actually hear the guy showing up at the door. He's like, hey, man, yeah, it's cool, dude. Like, like full blown normal state gym, you know, or whatever. So that was weird, you know. It wasn't, and he's very articulate, very well spoken. And I'm starting to, for real, the motherfucker was quite intelligent. And,
obviously.
So I don't know. I'm guessing there was more of a myth than the whole thing cracked out to be, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, he was, you know, I know Ray and Robbie, or Robbie, one of them, I remember them talking about most of the time, you know, he was actually, if he wasn't, you know,
drinking, he was drunk
too much. He was like a Southern, like a Southern gentleman. I remember them telling me saying that. They told me that, but I heard that, you know, he was very polite and probably like what you heard up to that guy delivering the,
Hey man, that's cool. All right. Yeah, man. Hang on.
Wasn't always crazy. And you know, it was most of the time he was, if he, just day to day, he was polite. Yeah.
And the weird part was I would hear a lot of shit. Like, he was a heroin junkie and, you know, like every, like that chick from Jefferson Airplane, what's her fucking name? I don't know.
Oh, Grace Slick.
Yeah. Her, whatever. There was an interview back in the day where she's like, Jim would take anything people would give him on the spot without asking questions. I'm sure that's happened a couple times. Ooh. But yeah. Could you imagine that though? No. Like, fuck. Just, all right. What is it? Fuck it. But point is, he was a drunk. He was more of an alcoholic than anything. And of course he did his acid. And of course he smoked a little weed, not as much as you would imagine, but it was his alcoholism that really turned him into a full blown fucking douchebag, which is why, you know, he missed gigs. Even Ray had to call. I don't know. Did Ray ever tell you about those days where he had to call?
Well, there's that one I know in Denmark. I think it was Denmark or somewhere in Europe that Ray had to cover it. Cause that's what Jim just took a handful of whatever someone gave him.
Yeah, like shit like that would happen, but you know.
Then he couldn't play. So Ray, that's probably documented somewhere, that Ray's saying. And
oh yeah, I've watched it. It's not that, like, yeah. Ray, if you break down what he's doing, he's playing bass riffs, right? And then he's giving his
singing too. It's not
horrific fucking vibe of what he's doing. Here's the impersonation. But point is,
and then singing on top of it.
Singing on top of it is where we're going with it. Thank you.
That's fucking crazy, right?
What was the party central like with you fucking bastards?
Rated. No, I mean, dude, those guys didn't party at all with me. I mean, you know, they're older. They did all that stuff. They would,
you know. No, like glass of wine and
cognac. Yeah. Right. Ray always had wine, but no party.
That's what I'm talking about.
Gig's over. It's like most of the time they just bail. You know, they're not going to do any kind of.
What did you say?
Most of the time when the gig was over, most of the time they would just bail out of there.
Oh, you know? Bail. I thought you said they would do yayo.
No,
I was like, bro, don't even.
You know, not, they're way past the.
Jesus fucking A. Yeah.
20 something.
I could see Ray doing his, you know, smoking his cigar or whatever, if he had one, or nice little glass of wine or
sometimes
something.
He would like bum a cigarette off someone, and he liked always had wine. He always had wine. It was dinner and wine, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hell. Like I said,
red wine, usually.
Were we filming when I told you what the contents of this fucking beverage is, or not?
I don't think we were filming, but you did tell me it's.
All right, yes. But no, honestly, that's really fascinating, man. So you would do the drums, obviously. Would you just, you know, internally blow yourself because of how cool that fucking moment must be? Just going, oh, God. Ah.
Well, you know, like anything else, dude, when you do something long enough, you kind of take it for granted, I guess, and you get used to it. That becomes your normal. But
right, but like, let's talk about your losing your virginity to fucking Bobbin and Cregan and Ray.
Well, yeah, so I was gonna say the first time, you know, Robbie, I'd been playing with him for a while, so I mean, that was I more remember playing with Ray the first time than Robbie. Robbie was just more like a. We got together, like, with Robbie, it wasn't, I don't know, I don't have memories of that as much the first time we played, but Ray, I do.
Do you smoke a lot? Ray, I remember.
No.
Marijuana is good in California.
Occasionally.
Occasionally.
I do.
All right, tell me.
Not like regular, no.
You never, did you smoke weed with the kids?
With them?
Oh, man. Yes. Oh, come on. At this point, well, that's not even incriminating.
They barely partied. I mean, you know, they're older gentlemen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, I'm joining the party. You know what I mean? Fuck, I ain't getting any younger. But
what was I saying? Oh, the first time I played with Ray was at SIR on Sunset.
Yeah.
Still there, Sunset by what diagonally across from what used to be Amoeba Music, which I don't think is there anymore.
Oh, sure. I know what you're talking about. There's the studio. What's the SIR stand for, sir?
Studio Instrument Rentals, I believe.
Nice. And I do remember Amoeba. I had a buddy that worked there for years. Actually, yeah, why would they shut down? They sold vinyl and shit like
that. They opened a new location, man.
Just makes sense.
You didn't hear about that? They just opened it like last month.
No, but I don't have any friends, man. No one wants to play with me. But No, I didn't know that. So it used to be right across the street from that Jack in the Box on Cahuenga.
Right. That's where SIR was, right there down like half a block from that. Yeah, but that's the first time I met Ray. Is just the first time I rehearsed. And I already knew Robbie.
You don't strike me as somebody that gets too like frazzled on that level, unless you keep it to yourself or some shit.
You know
what I mean?
You know what? Yeah, I felt pretty comfortable because I knew the music already. I knew Robbie already. It was surprisingly unfrazzled, like much less frazzled than if I was going to play with, I don't know, some other Rock and Roll Hall of Fame person.
All right, let's break down. Let's break down Mr. Ty Dennis. What are your influences? And like, I do want to get into your drum style and where we can see you actually performing outside of the band and things like that. So tell me, where did it start for you, man?
Well, my dad's a drummer.
Yeah. Enough said. Question number two. No, all right, come on, man.
My dad's a drummer and a really good drummer. Now he's kind of retired, but he's mostly...
Hey, you can't say
retired.
I'm joking.
Most of his life.
He's slowing down.
Been a jazz drummer, so...
jazz.
Yeah, mostly that's what he's... You know, the second half of his life, that's all he kind of did was jazz. Okay. So influences for me were, you know, at first were all the records that I would play in my house. My dad had all his killer records that would get played, you know, probably a lot cooler than I think most people got to hear in their house. Like,
name some.
Well, the stuff I remember hearing earliest would be like Herbie Hancock.
Why does that always remind me of fucking Tommy Boy? John Hancock. Herbie Hancock.
I'm a giant Herbie Hancock fan.
That's
Steely,
cool, man.
Like Steely Dan Asia.
No kidding.
Whatever is like Minute by Minute by the Doobie Brothers.
Cool. Well, that got you into the shit. So where'd you take it? Early years, middle years, and the continuation. Right.
Well, because there's always drums at the house. Excuse me. I got to always, whenever I wanted to play drums, they were there. And then I had the affinity for it, talent for it. Then I, you know, then when I got to like 12 or 13 years old, I started taking it pretty seriously. So, you know, I really got into like Stuart Copeland.
Oh, yeah.
Police, yeah. I still love, you know, playing, you know, I would play along with records. That's how I learned to play, like put on. Record, put on a Journey record, put on a like Jeff Porcaro with Toto record, put on a.
You ever get into like Danny Carey from Tool also?
Well, that was before that.
No, I know. But yeah, now, I'm just saying at some point, because that's still a while ago. That's like 92 and shit. Like when that broke in.
Well, see, I'm talking about like mid 80s when I'm doing that stuff. I'm older than you probably. So I was playing in bands, you know. When I started like around 15 or 16, I started playing in bands, but they were never like the bands of like what was.
I love the 70s.
Popular then. I never got 70s are great.
Yeah, I'm a 60s guy. You know, like when if you break down like what the society was doing, I think the 70s turned into more of a yayo fucking chasing the dragon scene right there at the end, which isn't something I've shied away from, but. You know, I'm toning it down these days. Point is, I love that classic rock feel, like the Black Sabbath, the Led Zeppelin, the shit like that. You know what I mean? But I also love the Beatles and stuff like that. You know, so I mean, I can go on and fucking Doors and shit. So damn,
right.
I even like the Bee Gees, dude. Like I should not. Yeah, they're like I watched a show, a full show, all the white, the super duper bell bottoms and their tragedy.
They're great.
And I was like, fuck, this is. This is really good. Like, where did you see your musical taste develop? Where did it go from that? You said jazz and things of that nature, Stuart.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, when I was starting to play in bands, I liked really good pop, smart pop music, I call it. I mean, and then there was like really bad music too, in my opinion.
Yeah. It got like, I was never into like the hair metal bands for that purpose. I'm a Metallica, Megadeth, Sepultura, Pantera fuckhead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my Wheaties, you know, that's covering my Wheaties boxes.
That's the Wheaties box. Right.
Fucking shit, which is kind of interesting.
You got to interview like Jason Newsted or something.
I actually have that written down. You know, I'm talking.
He did a good interview. I've seen him.
I'm talking to a few people, actually. It's kind of bizarre.
Right. And I teach drums at this guy's music school sometimes, and he was Robert Trujillo's bass teacher, so they're still buddies.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what?
Robert Trujillo.
Nice to meet you, Ty.
Robert Trujillo. He does this. I don't think it's a secret. He does some kind of.
He plays bass.
Right. Occasionally he'll do sessions for like a movie composer dude.
Oh yeah.
With Kurt Hammett and John Theodore on drums. They do some that guy from he's the drummer for Queen of the Stone Age now, but he was in Mars Volta and much bands.
Wasn't fucking hello. Like I'm Dave Grohl playing with Queens of the Stone Age for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
cool. What's your man?
Dave Grohl's off.
I got a couple weird stories of you were saying Kirk Hammett. I don't even remember who I'm telling these stories to anymore. I'm sure I bring them up. So we were doing a house party. It was like New Year's 2011, turning 2011, in Waimanalo, which is on Oahu. And fucking, I was drunk as shit. I was playing keyboards, doing the bubble and all that shit, you know, for them. And swear to God, somebody's backyard, right? I am fucking hammered, okay? My bass player, Ryan, taps me on the shoulder, tells me to look up. And I'm going like, I didn't want to be there to begin with. Full-blown Clerks vibe. Like, I don't even want to be here today kind of shit. You know? Yeah. I look up and like the distance from me to my fucking computer is Kirk Hammett staring right the fuck at me with a tall ass of what I thought was water or something. Wasn't, but hey. And I'm going, what? Like, oh yeah, I was talking to fucking Brian Cusco, my drummer then. He's a reptile wrangler now. Check out one of his shows, and he's actually on my show too. But let's get to the goddamn point here. So I freaked out, man. I stopped playing. I walked right up to him and just put him in a hug, dude. Everyone's looking at me like, are you crazy or what the fuck are you doing? And I'm going, what the fuck are you doing here? You know, like I've searched the world and you're here. And he goes, yeah, man. I live next door, dude. Pretty cool, right?
Probably has a house there. I was going to say
he sold it apparently or something like that, man. But anyway, fucking, we ended up partying. He hung out with everybody, made a bonfire, drank, got stoned. The story continues, but it's about you now, man. But cool. That was pretty fucking cool, dude. I'm not going to lie. So tell me about the Rob and the bass and all that stuff. Like,
that friend of mine. Yeah, he's just taught. He was his bass teacher. So, I teach at this dude's music school every now and then. And Rob has him and Kurt and this guy, John Theodore, the drummer, they sometimes do these like party band gigs. You know, someone will pay them a bunch of money. They'll go play and surf and hang out. And they'll also work, do some recording. Anyways.
What's a whole bunch of money?
I don't know what they get, but it's good.
It's got to be some kind of fucking crazy good, right?
Enough to get Kirk Hammett to do it, you know.
And Rob. Dude,
but like, it was in the midst of the COVID thing, you know, that Rob's, they had some recording they were going to do for some composer out here in one of the big studios. And Rob's wife didn't want him to do it because of the COVID, you know, COVID cooties or whatever.
Cody Covids.
This is like,
we need to call it Cody Covids, bro.
This is like a year ago.
Yeah, I know, man.
Getting back. Anyways, so he called Rob called my friend Brad and he did it. He was his sub on it.
There's this new thing I don't want to send
sub bass. Yeah.
That's funny actually too, man.
Because he was his bass teacher.
For bass.
He's a great bass player.
I like that.
Phenomenal bass player.
But they got this thing called Cameo now. Yeah. Have you heard of Cameo? That's pretty cool. Like just pay a famous person to say, hey, what's up, bro? That's fucking nuts.
Happy birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, dude. I'm not naming names right now. But a buddy of mine just got a buddy of mine to do that too, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But all right, let's move on the dusty trail. So, where are we at now? Somewhere in the mid 90s. So, Did you get into progressive rock, or did your tastes get a little nuttier, like double bass, Crazy Rolls, Dave Lombardo, Chris Adler? I can keep going.
Yeah, the metal guys.
The metal guys. I'm a metal guy, dude.
Yeah, in the mid-90s, I'm like living in my close to Hollywood, Eagle Rock, Hollywood, up there, playing in like five bands, you know, trying to like get on tours and get a good gig and stuff like that. That's what I was doing in the mid-90s. Right, so right. I was playing in bands kind of like at that point, more like grunge-ish, Pearl Jam-ish kind of thing.
I like Pearl Jam. I like Pearl Jam a big time. And I figured since I like how you'll bring something up and I can just fucking tell you how I feel about it like a narcissist bastard. But the fucking I'm a big Allison Chains. It's your interview, but let me
show. Oh, go for it.
No, but I love Allison Chains, man. Actually, I just watched a whole bunch of shit about how Kurt Cobain died. I didn't really ever get into the fucking saga until recently, which is weird. And holy shit, if I don't think Courtney had something to do with it.
I haven't checked that out.
My goodness, man. Anyway, it's neither here nor there, but I do want to address it eventually. So you never really got into all that psycho metal shit or nothing?
Not too much. I mean, I do like some of it now. Like, I can't play it, but I dig like Meshuggah.
I was such a fucking Dimebag fan. I still am. So that blew my mind, you know.
Now that we're talking, one time... I was on tour with Robbie before the Doors thing. It was just like when I told you when I first played with Robbie, it was just his band. Me and Robbie's son, Waylon, somehow we played in Dallas with Robbie and we met fucking Vinny Paul.
Oh,
I think he came to the gig. So we end up with hanging with Vinny Paul. We go to his strip club. He had a strip club.
Yeah, in Dallas.
And I have really vague memories of it. But later on after that, we're at his house, dude. Vinny Paul's house, me and Waylon.
Hanging out at Vinny's house.
Yeah, with Vinny's fucking wasted. You know, he has a nice, cool house. We're playing cards there. You know, he has his stuff on the wall, like the first, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. The
money, the first, I can't remember. First of this and that from Pantera. And then
they're in a band. I think they call themselves Power Metal or some shit like that.
No, it's Pantera.
There was Pantera. I don't know when
he pushes this wall. Like, he's like, hey, check this out. Because he'd seen it play, he knew I was a drummer. He pushes this wall like it, you know, like it moves, like it turns or something.
Yeah,
and then there's a drum set back there.
Like, yeah, that's when I come I come in my pants at that moment right there. Just like, what the hell's going on? Oh God!
Fucking trash.
Too bad what happened to goddamn Dimebag. Absolutely insane.
That's terrible. Right? What a fucking. Yeah, he got the shaft, man. I mean, that's just the way of going down.
How and you know, like they. Phil Anselmo said some weird shit, like somebody should beat the shit out of Dimebag and stuff like that in a interview. And then
he said that.
Yeah, he said some shit. But people talk shit, dude. I could fucking publicly say fuck Ty Dennis. Somebody needs to kick him in the nuts. I'm not thinking somebody's going to fucking kill you or even do that. People just talk shit. And I don't mean that. But right. I am saying fucking whatever. So people talk shit at no time. Do you expect some psycho schizophrenic ex-military fucking tool bag like that to think Pantera's stealing his lyrics and the only way around this is to kill Dimebag? Yeah, wow. Apparently he thought they were somehow taking his lyrics. You know how fucking out of the fucking pool table that is, dude? So, yeah. And then so he blows his brains out first. Then he starts shooting everybody. I mean, you can see the shit online, man. And it's fucking insane. And the cop that blew the guy's head off with the shotgun. Yeah, it's fucking nuts. Could you imagine that shit? I wanted to call that place up and see what they did with the rug. I got a few questions, too. So you were touring in the 90s, right? Or you were active.
Yeah, active. I started more touring and starting like 2000 in there. Yeah,
something like that. I mean... As rapid as technology is going, like it's far beyond the Industrial Revolution. Like we're in the space age and shit. Like this is pretty interesting. Internet has changed. I seem to be asking every musician I talk to on this damn show about what it was like and how it has changed. You know what I mean? And like even me, I'm right on that fucking cusp. Like I remember and I now get it.
Oh man,
what was it like for you? Like the pre and the post.
Well, touring wise, when I first
touring. Not just that, but like fucking networking, flyering, doing all the fucking real shit. And now just internet, like we needed to chase record labels and shit down. It was nuts, right? So, yeah.
As far as like first touring, there was no.
The way we can promote.
There wasn't Facebook. Facebook. I remember hearing about, I remember being on MySpace.
Rest like, in peace.
I remember in 07, someone telling me, Facebook's so much better. I'm like, Facebook?
I didn't like Facebook.
You got to get on Facebook. I'm so much better. I'm like, wow, okay. So, I mean, when I was first doing stuff, there was no Facebook. There was no social media. Something like this.
Yeah, this is insane. I'm in fucking where I'm at and you're over there. It's nuts.
Right.
But that's, you know, we're in that day and age. A lot of people used to have to hunt down record labels and all the ways to make
money. Yes.
Money has changed. You're not selling music like you used to. And it's just, it's so different. So now, because a lot of people give me different answers, and I guess I'm just trying to look for the one I like.
Well, so. When I started in bands, when I started in, you know, 16, 17, 18, was cassette tapes. Then it grew, obviously, to CDs.
Yeah.
Now I don't even own a CD player.
But people do want like something tangible, especially vinyl's pretty fucking cool these days too.
Which right.
Is bizarre shit.
Right.
But all right. So as far as making money back in the day, because people love music and you can't give me that bullshit. Like you're showing out, you're doing this and that because it's all about the, well, fuck dude. I got to fucking eat. I got to do some shit. I'd love to take a beautiful girl out. Trust me. I'm not getting paid enough at the gigs to go fuck groupies. So like fucking, I, you know, you need shit. And as much as possible would be cool. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know what? Nah, fuck it. Just put a cap on this shit. So all these fucking assholes who say stuff like that, just go eat your own shit. At the same time, it has changed the way you make money. So one thing. Now, how do you go about it these days, man? You personally.
Well, the first thing now, you have to be way more diversified. Or you're going to have to record. You have to like have your own studio so you can send drum files. You're gonna have to be probably teach. You're gonna have to probably play live. It's like you have to do all these things to make to make a decent living. Like it's very difficult to just do one thing, and it's a lot more expensive to live too, you know. When I first to LA, dude, my rent, like my half, I'm not shitting you, in 1995 I shared a guest house with my pal. My fucking half the rent was $325.
I live across the street from UCLA for real in Westwood.
Right.
It's like pushing $3,000 and I don't
know what I mean. So
it's fucking
the guest house back then, that wasn't like a cheap guest house. That was what they cost to rent one everywhere. So now to be a musician, and basically the money isn't that much more now. It's just, but all the costs have gone up four times. So it's like very difficult. That's the biggest asking. You asked me what changed. I would say that to be an artist, what changes, it's really the expense of living.
Yeah. And well, not just that, but like music sales are completely different now.
I mean, and that too, the music revenue,
which is interesting. You do have, I mean, people, you can play a lot of different things, which is even bizarre to hear that Kirk Hammett and Rob, you know, do that. You can actually get one of them to do some shit for a nominal fee and possibly a taco and a Jumbo Jack or something. But, but like, that's fucking nuts. And I know they don't need the goddamn cash, but just the fact that that's out there. So yeah, diversify your portfolio.
You better.
So what's going on now, man? What's your current situation?
Have you seen a new record? Wait a minute. 5 or 6 weeks ago?
What's it called? Wait, yeah, my bad.
Like, Self-titled.
If people wanted to find you, once again, you give them all of the information right now. I don't want to have to read this bullshit.
Okay.
www.tydennis,
which is T-Y-D-E-N-N-I-S, drums, drums.com. You can, you know, you can, I don't want to say stalk me there, but you can
hey, well, you're on general population, man, so I'm gonna send some fucking psychopaths your way, man. But I tell you what, Mr. Ty Dennis, you are cool as shit, and I would love to have you back on general population anytime, man.
All right, brother, anytime. Right. Man. Okay, thanks, man.
General population to be continued, motherfucker.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.